the state of our union is strong. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
And good night. Mic drop.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Why did I?
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Oh, that's why.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I ain't scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
From Pacifica Radio's KPFK in Los Angeles, this is your broadcast, as heard on 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM San Diego, 99.5 FM Ridgecrest and China Lake, up in Oregon on 91.7 FM KYAQ on the Central Coast, and 106.7 FM KSO in Cozy Cottage Grove. Out in Pennsylvania on 93 FM WLRI in Lancaster. Out in Hawaii on 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui. And now on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Also coast to coast and around the globe on kpfk.org. And streaming live on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, Radio or Not, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Nashville, and of course, Radio Sputnik, 5 days a week. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us today for another thrilling, action-packed adventure. I am live in the KPFK studios. I had been hoping, the best laid plans. I had been hoping to take your calls, to talk about President Obama's State of the Union speech last night, his final one of his administration. That is, if he doesn't stay in office, bum, 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 as the some on the right say, he's never going to leave. Anyway, I had hoped to talk about that. We will still talk about that. I will still try to take your calls at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. If you have any thoughts on Tuesday night's State of the Union address, we will get to that in a moment. But I'm going to push all of that back because something very important is happening out here in California, something very important that is going to potentially, I would say almost certainly, going to affect the rest of the country. I will get to that and my guest in a moment. I do want to say welcome, however, to our newest affiliate partner. I'm very happy about this. The great KTNF, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, now is picking up the broadcast. I am thrilled, really thrilled, to be back on KTNF in Minnesota. One of my favorite stations from the 5 years or so that I was guest hosting the Mike Malloy Show. Always great to talk to folks up in Minnesota and KTNF. My thanks to Ian Levitt, the program director, the host of the great The Daily Report over there on AM 950, and to all the tech folks who have been fighting computer gremlins night and day for the last week or so to get us on the air to make it happen. They're still fighting some of those gremlins, so hopefully I'm on the air. In any event, hello, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Glad you're there. Glad you're with us. Also, hello to Desi Doyen, our producer, my co-host on the Green News Report. Desi Doyen, you will be back with us later.
Yes, I will.
With the Green News Report as, well, really a number of important stories. One of them is really, really troubling to me. What is going on in Nevada with solar? The big government that is basically killing the solar industry in Nevada. I suspect the folks on the right are furious about this, about the idea that they're putting these companies out of business with these big new regulations.
Yeah, you'd think.
But not so much.
You'd think they'd have a problem with that.
Not so much, apparently, as we will discuss in our Green News Report upcoming. Okay, but first, before all of that, after the 2000 election debacle in Florida, as we discussed in some detail yesterday on the broadcast with my guest, Dr. John Allen Paulos, the mathematician from Temple University, who blames himself, by the way, to this day, he blames himself for George W. Bush's quote-unquote victory in the state of Florida and the Supreme Court shutting down the counting of ballots in the Sunshine State. But after that debacle, the U.S. Congress eventually passed the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA, in response. That allocated nearly $4 billion to, I got to use a lot of quotes, to quote-unquote upgrade our nation's voting systems to electronic systems. Yes, some of the very things that caused the problems in Florida, they use those for quote-unquote solutions afterwards across the country. It has been disastrous, as listeners to the broadcast know, as readers of bradblog.com know. Now, at the time, those of us who objected to moving to these electronic systems, whether they're touchscreen systems or paper ballot systems that are counted by computer, as they are in pretty much every single state, at the time, those of us who objected, particularly to the 100% unverified touchscreen systems, were told that such systems were needed because, well, the blind and the disabled voters, they need to be able to vote independently, just like everyone else. So everyone has to use these terrible, crappy systems for reasons unknown. Never mind that if, you know, disabled users want to use unverifiable systems, they may do so. But we don't have to force the rest of the nation and the voters, you know, all across the country to use these same proprietary systems made by a few private companies that are easily hacked, that often fail either through malfeasance or just plain malfunction. But if you objected to their use back then, people would tell you that, oh, you must have something against disabled voters. Why do you hate blind people? They would ask. They really did. Well, another version of that same scheme has been at work for some years in the push now to move to internet voting, which is even less transparent, less overseeable, less secure. It is 100% unverifiable by voters after an election. It just simply cannot be overseen by the public. And if you bother to listen to the world's foremost computer science and security experts on this matter, as I do, it cannot be made secure using today's internet. Nonetheless, in the chase for more profits for voting system vendors, or as you'll hear from often from Democratic Party proponents of such a scheme, to improve voter turnout, the schemers and profiteers now trying to force internet voting on us are using a similar Trojan horse to that, got to do it for the blind people thing. Now it's military voters overseas. They have to use the internet to vote, we are told, and if you're against that, well, you must hate the troops. Before, you hated the blind people. Now you hate the troops if you're against internet voting. The military is being used to introduce internet voting across the nation at the federal level. And now, once again, out here in California, with the most electoral votes in the nation out here in California, and where our voting systems are often first adopted and brought to other states across the country. What is most insidious about this latest effort? A deceptive, insidious, well-funded, did I mention it was deceptive? Ballot initiative. This will go straight on to the ballot, and it is well-funded, so it looks like it, you know, very likely to get the signatures needed and to go on. This deceptive ballot initiative has just come to my attention, and it's called the Election Data Security and Military Ballot Access Act. Notice it doesn't have the word internet voting anywhere in it. It's the Election Data Security and Military Ballot Access Act. That's how it's currently titled by the high-priced law firm Olson, Hagel & Fishburne, LLP, who have now turned this in. They submitted this to the California Attorney General Kamala Harris just before the holidays last month. And it attempts to deceptively force internet voting into the state of California, and it uses the old military voting scheme, that old saw, as well as a new one. it never uses, in this 46-page initiative, they never describe what they are about to do as internet voting. They describe it instead as, quote, secure electronic delivery of vote-by-mail ballots. It's not internet voting. It's securely delivered vote-by-mail. That's all it is. This thing is absolutely amazing. It is deceptive. It is dishonest. And yes, it is well-funded. It's unclear who is behind this effort at the moment. It only came to my attention yesterday. I've been talking to a lot of people since then. But as the comment period for this initiative at the Attorney General's office out here in California, that ends on Thursday. So before it's officially titled and approved for signature gathering, I need to get the word out about this. I want to get the word out there to voters in California as well as to the rest of the country about what they're doing, this 46-page rewrite of election code to do away with all of the protections that we have against internet voting currently in our election code, to allow this commission of supposed experts that will be appointed by someone to come in and push internet voting across the entire state. And that means once it's across the entire state, it is also going to be across the entire country. So you need to know about this. This will affect you, either via this scam that they're trying to force in California or coming to a precinct near you via similar scam artists using the same deceptive means to sell you on internet voting. What? No, I didn't mean internet voting. I meant securely delivered vote by mail. Securely delivered electronic vote by mail. Joining us right now to discuss this is Jim Soper. He's the creator and author of the election integrity website countedascast.org. He is co-chair of the Voting Rights Task Force in the San Francisco East Bay. And he has otherwise been working on issues of election integrity for 11 years in California and beyond. I believe he is actually up at the Capitol in Sacramento today, coincidentally, not to discuss this ballot initiative, but actually to lobby against a legislative initiative trying to push internet voting here as well from Democratic Assemblyman Phil Ting of San Francisco. That's AB877. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, Jim Soper, welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Hi, Brad.
Well, how are you doing? I want to talk about what you actually are in Sacramento for, but I want to talk about this initiative, this ballot initiative. This is an entirely new animal. I don't know if you heard my introduction there. Have I accurately described what seems to be going on with it and the deceptive way that they're trying to sell this as something other than an internet voting scheme for the entire state?
You nailed it. Just to be perfectly clear. You have to go, they talk about the electronic delivery of vote-by-mail ballots for 43 pages. Mm-hmm. It's not until you get to page 44 that you see that they eliminate section 19205 of the election code, which says that thou shalt not use the internet and thou shalt not use wireless. Throughout 43 pages, they say, we just want it for electronic delivery of overseas vote-by-mail ballots. This one section, they wipe it, the whole thing out with no specificity about just for our thing. They just want to open the door for internet voting.
And
that's what they're doing.
And this was the part of the code you mentioned. No part of the voting system shall be connected to the internet at any time. No part of the voting system shall electronically receive or transmit election data through an exterior communications network. This is all just crossed out entirely at the end of on the 45th page of this 46-page monstrosity. And this was the stuff that was put in there after the State of California Secretary Secretary, former Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, did a landmark review of every electronic system from top to bottom. The top to bottom review, they called it, found that every single one of them was hackable within 30 and or 60 seconds all the way to the central tabulator. These are the same machines that are used everywhere in the country. She insisted that no part of the voting system shall be connected to the internet, and this thing just crosses it out and says, hey, yeah, let's cast ballots on the internet. What could possibly go wrong? So as a longtime tech expert here and an election integrity advocate, Jim Soper, what are your general concerns about internet voting? Why is this such a concern to you and other, all of the other computer security scientists and security experts that I've talked to? What are your concerns?
Well, one, just use common sense and just read the paper. All the time they're talking about hackers getting to the CIA, the NATO, FBI, the big banks. Just every week you're seeing something. And there's no way that an underfunded, overworked county elections office, such as where you're at, Los Angeles, can possibly hold out with, if they have an election server that's on the internet, somebody's going to break in. We know this. We know this from an example that was in 2010 in Washington, D.C., where they put one of these systems up on the internet and said, okay, have at it. And within 36 hours, University of Michigan specialist broke in, and they took complete control of the passwords, the email list, the video cameras. They had complete control of everything. And it was just within 36 hours, they controlled everything. There's no way that a county elections office is going to keep out the Chinese cyber army or Mr. Putin's forces or whoever else, some kid sitting in a basement someplace. They can't keep them out. And given that the votes are centralized, especially in, again, Los Angeles County, which is the largest voting community in the country, somebody gets in there, they flip LA, they flip California. If they flip California, they flip the country. So it's having all of this centralized and exposed on the internet that really, really gives me worries.
You mentioned that 2010 hack, actually by white hat hackers back in 2010, when the Washington, D.C. was about to go live with an internet voting system for the military. And the tech experts and voting experts of the world said, please let us test it. Let us hack it. Let us try to hack it. They set up a mock election, essentially. And as you point out, within hours, they had completely taken over the system, changed the passwords, took over the cameras in the control room where the computer was, and changed all the passwords. Added the Michigan fight song to the end so that if you went to vote on the system, you'd hear the Michigan fight song. And they told us while they were in there, they saw that also computers from Iran, computers from China were also in the system as well, trying to manipulate the system. This has been tried and failed over and over again, and it makes me, frankly, so furious, as you can tell, to see this happening again and to see this high-priced law firm, we don't know who is behind it. I'm trying to learn that. But again, I suspect, I actually suspect it is Democrats. Democrats think they can, increase turnout. I don't know that there's any evidence that internet voting would actually increase turnout, but I think that's what they think. We see it from some Republicans in red states. They want to go to internet voting because they believe it increases their voters. It's maddening. Jim Soper, the other point here, there's many, but one of the other points here is that I've been speaking to a lot of folks, as I said, over the past 24 hours about this. One person pointed out to me that this ballot initiative, if it becomes law, would be almost impossible to amend thereafter. I don't know if you saw this, Jim, but on the very last page, page 46, the provisions of this act may be amended to carry out its purpose and intent by a unanimous recommendation from the Election Data Security Commission. So they're going to create this commission on their own, and it has to be unanimous before they change anything. The state legislature by 2/3 vote of each house of the legislature and then signed by the governor. They are making this impossible to get rid of once it is in. Now, You know, what would you like to see? I'm going to give out the address so that people can contact the Attorney General out here in California to at least get them to change the title, the name of this thing, so people can know it is not a military ballot access act. It is not about election data security. It is about internet voting. But what would you like to see done with this initiative? What would you like people to tell the Office of Attorney General Kamala Harris about it, Jim Soper?
Well, they need to go to the Office of the Attorney General, oag.ca.gov, and search for an initiative 15-0118. Search for it, find it, and put in a comment. The Attorney General is allowed to adjust the title and the description of the initiative that goes onto the ballot. And they need to call it what it is, an internet voting initiative. That's for start. If they can put in the really what it is, very dangerous for a democracy, that would be even better.
Mm-hmm.
That's the start.
Well, and it just seems like Democrats should know better, but apparently they don't. So contact, once again, let me repeat that information, oag.ca.gov. And they have the initiatives up there, the active measures. On Thursday, the comment period ends, but it is initiative number 15-0118, 15-0118. At the California Attorney General's website, which is oag.ca.gov. I'll put that link up at bradblog.com. We spoke with the office earlier. I wanted to get a phone number as well, since it was such a late date here, and I know a lot of people aren't able to contact via the internet, the web. They don't have a phone number where this can be done, I am told. But you can email them as well, initiative.coordinator@doj.ca.gov. And as Jim Soper suggests, tell them, at the very least, title it accurately as an internet voting bill. I would put, I'd call it the internet voting scheme of 2016 if it was up to me. But Jim, I know you're up in Sacramento at the Capitol, as I understand it. Actually, you were going to be there today to lobby against this Democratic initiative in the legislature from Democratic Assemblyman Phil Ting, who was told several years ago that this was a terrible idea. He's doing it again. Now he's trying to push a bill for internet voting. Really?
He was. The good news is that, well, it's actually got kind of tense. The hearing was in the Assembly Elections Committee this morning, and the Voting Rights Task Force was there for the fourth time now,
mm-hmm.
and Secretary Padilla's representative was there. We all spoke against, and it went 3 in favor, 3 against, and the seventh person wasn't there. We had the lead, so it's like going into overtime, tied. And we were on edge, wondering what the last vote was going to be. And then finally, Adrian Nazarian, who is from Van Nuys, abstained. An abstention is good as a no vote. The thing wound up being 3-3-1. It did not pass, and it will not pass this year. It's dead. We beat it. And we beat it because a lot of people across the state got together and they showed up on the internet. They showed up in email, they showed up in person and said, don't do this, and we blocked it.
Continue
to block it.
Well, congratulations on that, on stopping it for now in the California State Legislature, if not stopping it on a ballot initiative. But what was Phil Ting's, and is it congressman, liberal congressman, I guess, from San Francisco, what the hell? What did he testify in favor of this bill? What is his reasoning for wanting this bill, even after he's been told by virtually every computer security expert in the world that this is a terrible idea? What's his own testimony? Why does he want this?
Because he thinks it'll increase turnout, because it's the future, the way things are going to be. We all bank online. We do a whole bunch of things online, so why not vote online? And historically, he was in charge of the tax system in San Francisco, and he put that online and got a lot of credit for updating their tax office there. Got a lot of credit, a lot of pluses for that. So he's sort of trying to do the same thing with unfortunately, our elections. And this is much more vulnerable and a bigger disaster if it gets hacked into. But I think he's sincere. I think he wants to do this for good reasons and maybe to increase vote. Only data out of British Columbia and Norway sort of show it doesn't really increase turnout. But that's another issue.
No, it doesn't. When they tried it in Honolulu a couple of years ago, the turnout plummeted from 83% down to 18%. When they tried it on the Oscar voting, it was an absolute disaster, internet voting. And you can read about both of those at bradblog.com. And I know that he's been told, I might have said Phil Ting, and we'll try to get him on the show. I'd love to hear what he has to say. But, I might have said he was... sincere a few years ago when he first tried it, but now I know that he has been told about these dangers, that internet voting is not like internet banking. When you bank, when you put some money in, to the bank, to the ATM, you can look at the transaction later to make sure they got it right. The bank can look at it. The credit card companies can look at it. It's transparent. We have a secret ballot. That's different when you're voting. Because we have a secret ballot, it is not like banking. It is a totally different animal. Once you drop your vote into that box, it's gone. And there is no way to make sure that it was tallied accurately thereafter. And that's the way it should be. We need a secret ballot. That said, that is what makes internet voting and electronic voting totally different from internet banking. And Phil Ting has been told this by now, and I'm not sure why he doesn't understand it. In any event, Jim Soper, I got to get out. I really appreciate your work on this, going up there to Sacramento, successfully, it seems, for now, killing Phil Ting's thing. As we've called it before, Ting's thing. Now we got to focus on this insidious ballot initiative, this deceptive ballot initiative currently called 15-0118, the Election Data Security and Military Ballot Access Act. Go to the Attorney General at oag.ca.gov. And tell them to title this accurately. Jim Soper, always great to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for all the good work you do.
Thank you.
Check out Jim Soper's work at countedascast.org. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll try to come back with the State of the Union and your calls, your thoughts on it at 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. Or if you want to talk about this matter, give us a call as well, or really, you know what? Anything else? All our plans are blown away because of this, damn thing and the comment period that ends tomorrow. This internet voting scheme that will never die. It needs to die. We got to keep it out. It's hard enough fighting against these electronic voting systems, whether they're touchscreen or paper ballots. Man, you know what? Just go back and listen to some of the broadcasts from the past week. Go to bradblog.com. Download what we've been talking about. Bernie fans, Hillary fans, Trump fans, Marco Rubio fans. You're concerned about the votes for your candidate being counted accurately and in a way that they can you can know it's been counted accurately. The system we have in place right now is a disaster. These people want to make it worse. Are you kidding me? This is the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Stay tuned. It was part pep rally, part victory speech, part campaign stump speech, part goodbye speech, part gentle spanking. that he said at the outset would not be a laundry list of agenda items for the next year, as per usual State of the Union addresses, but instead, as President Obama said, I want to focus on the next 5 years, 10 years, and beyond. I want to focus on the future, said Barack Obama. In President Obama's final State of the Union address to Congress on Tuesday night, he spelled out four big questions that we as a country have to answer regardless of who the next president is or who controls the next Congress. He said, first, how do we give everyone a fair shot at opportunity and security in this new economy? Second, how do we make technology work for us and not against us, especially when it comes to solving urgent challenges like climate change? Third, how do we keep America safe and lead the world without becoming its policeman? Finally, how can we make our politics reflect what's best in us and not what's worse? Now, I had quite a few clips I'd hoped to play. That previous segment knocked us out, put us behind in all regards here. And I see that a lot of you are calling up and want to talk about what we just discussed. So I'm going to get to that and your calls very momentarily. Let's do this, G. Let's just go, since we're talking about elections and since President Obama, one of the themes that he discussed was the problem with our electoral system. Let's go ahead and at least play that much from his speech, and then I will get to your calls at 818-985-5735. Oh, yeah, this is the Bradcast, and I'm Brad Friedman. You could also, by the way, tweet us if you can't get through on the phones right now. I am the Brad Blog on the Twitters. All right, here was President Obama last night calling for fixing our broken electoral system.
If we want a better politics, it's not enough just to change a congressman or change a senator or even change a president. We have to change the system to reflect our better selves. I think we've got to end the practice of drawing our congressional districts so that politicians can pick their voters and not the other way around. Let a bipartisan group do it. I believe we've got to reduce the influence of money in our politics so that a handful of families or hidden interests can't bankroll our election. And if our existing approach to campaign finance reform can't pass muster in the courts, we need to work together to find a real solution, because it's a problem. And most of you don't like raising money. I know. I've done it. We've got to make it easier to vote, not harder. We need to modernize it for the way we live now. This is America. We want to make it easier for people to participate. And over the course of this year, I intend to travel the country to push for reforms that do just that. But I can't do these things on my own. Changes in our political process, in not just who gets elected, but how they get elected, that will only happen when the American people demand it. It depends on you. That's what's meant by a government of, by, and for the people. What I'm suggesting is hard. It's a lot easier to be cynical, to accept that change is not possible, and politics is hopeless. And the problem is, all the folks who are elected don't care, and to believe that our voices and our actions don't matter. But if we give up now, then we forsake a better future. Those with money and power will gain greater control over the decisions that could send a young soldier to war, or allow another economic disaster, or roll back the equal rights and voting rights that generations of Americans have fought, even died to secure. And then, as frustration grows, there will be voices urging us to fall back into our respective tribes, to scapegoat fellow citizens who don't look like us, or pray like us, or vote like we do, or share the same background. We can't afford to go down that path. It won't deliver the economy we want. It will not produce the security we want. But most of all, it contradicts everything that makes us the envy of the world.
That was President Obama at his final State of the Union address on Tuesday night, talking about, obviously problems with our political and our electoral system, something that we talk a lot about on this show and at bradblog.com, perhaps exclusively in comparison to the rest of the media, who talks about the horse race rather than the track conditions. I know a lot of you want to get in on this conversation after my rant in that last segment, 818-985-5735. Let's get to as many of you as we can. If you want to talk about that, what Obama said at the State of the Union, or anything else, love to hear from you. Let's go to Don in Santa Monica. Hey, Don, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. I wanted to say that the only way to count a fair vote is to count it by hand, to go back to the way it was always done before, and not do it with computers, and, that's the first step in correcting our system.
Yeah.
Getting money out of the system is another issue. Saving the post office, electing Bernie Sanders would be good. Maybe if the media would give more fair time across the board to all the candidates, including Bernie Sanders, mm-hmm. That would be great.
Thanks, Don. I really appreciate that. And it's not so much as Bev Harris, we spoke with her last week with the primaries now upcoming. It's not so much, any particular machine. It's the idea that the people need to be able to oversee their own elections and to know that ballots are counted and to know that they're counted accurately. And even with a hand-marked paper ballot, when you run it through a computer to scan it, to count it, you can't know if the computer counted it correctly unless it is counted by hand. Joe in Hawthorne, welcome to the broadcast, sir. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Brad. I believe that the only way you could really make this work is that you would have to have a printed copy with a unique number on the ballot that each voter leaves the voting booth with. Then those votes would be run through the machines, counted, whatever, but all the votes that came in, those unique numbers, would be displayed somewhere. It could be on cable TV, over the internet. If a voter looks for his number and mm-hmm. finds out that his votes do not match the votes that are on his ballot, then there's a problem.
Joe, why? That's one of the reasons why we don't give people a receipt or that unique number, because it would allow them to leave the voting booth and sell their vote, to buy or sell your vote. If your boss may tell you, I want to see proof that you voted for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, or you'll be fired. That's why we don't do that. That's why we don't make it so that you can go and show how you voted later, whether it's a receipt or a unique number. It leads to vote buying, vote selling, intimidation. An abusive husband can tell the wife, you better vote this way or else. So I'm wondering why you go to that immediately, Joe, instead of saying, yeah, you know what? Why don't we let them just hand mark their ballots and count them at the precinct? Done. End of story. Why do we need this rocket science that you're describing here, Joe, to count our votes?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, I think you're never going to be able to count out some type of fix or something going on. And I'll just use the example of when voters are disallowed and, different groups hire companies to come in to actually look through the voter polls to figure out who they can throw out. And it's open for manipulation.
But what does that have to – but it can't be manipulated if you've got everybody in the world, all political parties looking at it at the precinct before the ballots are moved anywhere. You can videotape the entire process. If there's a question about how a ballot was counted, you can go back and you can look at the videotape. You can count those ballots again. It's the simple solution. I don't understand why people try to make it so difficult, why they think it needs to be so difficult. Joe, I appreciate the call. I want to get to some other folks here because I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. There's just a lot of people ringing in here on all of the above, so let me try to get to as many as I can here. Carlos in Carson. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, you know, I stopped listening to State of the Union speeches. I stopped listening to debates between Republicans and Democrats. Why? Because politicians don't run our government. The financial elite of the world are in control. They decide what's going to happen, who's going to get voted in. They decide what the outcome is going to be. And the status quo is going to be maintained. You can make sure that there's going to be more wars, expansion of wars. There's going to be expansion of our debt. You're going to see the outsourcing of our jobs further. You're going to see more illegal immigration. You're going to see more social chaos. You can bet on it, no matter who gets in, whether the Republican, Democrat. And by the way, I already think they got their man. Their man is going to be Jeb Bush, okay?
Okay.
He's already been picked.
Carlos,
he's one of the bloodline leaders.
Do you vote?
Oh, yes, I do, but reluctantly.
Okay.
Not reluctantly.
No.
I voted for Ron Paul. I think that was the last time I voted.
Good. All right. Well, the reason I ask is because all of the things that you're concerned about when you say you tune out, you don't listen to the State of the Union, you don't listen to the debates and so forth, when people tune out of the electoral process, and I certainly understand why people do that, but when they tune out and then when they don't vote, which is your right, and I support your right to not vote, just as long as you know that when you don't vote, and I know that you said you did, but when you don't vote, all of those people, those bankers, those warmongers, exactly the people that you're worried about, they are delighted. They don't want you to vote. If the people of these United States, if everyone who was eligible to vote showed up to vote, we'd end the wars. We'd break up the banks. We'd put these guys out of business. We'd get rid of the private healthcare profiteers in the private insurance business. I just worry when people say that they're tuning out. I totally understand why, but I hope you'll at least stay tuned in enough to cast a vote against those bad guys. Because when you don't vote,
Think our vote really counts? You think our vote really counts?
Oh yeah.
We already got the.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I absolutely think it counts. It doesn't count automatically. You got to get in there and fight like hell. It's not enough to show up and vote. You got to vote. You got to make sure it gets counted. And you're damn right. I believe it counts. That's what the fight is for. It ain't going to be easy, Carlos. You got to fight for it, my friend.
Do you remember the Collier brothers? They found fraud in the elections, and guess what?
Yep.
They died. They were dismissed, demised, okay? They found absolutely fraud in all these elections.
Yeah, no, I know the Collier brothers. I know their daughter, Victoria, who has picked this up and is fighting for exactly this. She is fighting for electoral integrity across this country. We all have to, unless you want to give up. I'm just not willing to give up. Thank you for the call, Carlos. I want to try to get to a couple more people here. Do I have time? Yes, very quickly. Henry in Los Alamitos. Hey, Henry, welcome to the broadcast. Very quickly, what's on your mind, sir?
Okay, I think we need a voting day, and the voting day should be a holiday, and it would be a Wednesday, not a Friday or a Monday where people take off for a weekend.
Thank you. Yes, thank
and,
you.
Oh, that's it?
Well, you got another one? I totally agree with you.
No, okay. I haven't finished. plus, you've got all the people in the world are off work and they could count the paper ballots that day, and as well as making sure that the provisional ballots might end up on the table, they're counted. And I think that you would have the results by midnight.
Yep, I believe that you would. Henry from Los Alamitos for Secretary of State. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that a lot. Let me get to, here we go, Mike in L.A. There we go. Mike, very quickly, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind, sir?
2 points. Once the Canadians can count paper ballots, they do fine.
Mm-hmm.
Second, selling the internet voting as a boon for servicemen ignores 1944 when 12 million people were in uniform and they all voted and their votes were counted.
Somehow they managed to vote. They managed to allow people in the military to vote even in the middle of a war, World War II. Imagine that. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that call. Oh, is this? Yeah, it looks like it is. Our friend Mimi Kennedy, star of sitcom Mom. on, I want to say CBS. Am I right? Yeah, CBS.
Yes, that's right.
Hey, Mimi Kennedy, also chair of, chair, is that your position at Progressive Democrats of America?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mimi, welcome to the broadcast. Good to talk to you. What's up?
Brad. I'm a constituent of Adrian Nazarian, and he's the guy who abstained on the elections committee today, making it a 3-3 vote, making sure that internet bill King's thing did not get out of committee. And I want to just reassure Carlos how that happened. Jim Soper, who you had on earlier, hipped me to this bill. I didn't know about it. I've been busy working. Mm-hmm. He hipped me to it over the weekend. We mobilized. They got 700 calls to the assembly in a couple of hours last night because of the mobilization of activists. And then this morning, Adrian Nazarian's aide called me and emailed me with one more, like, no, wouldn't it be good because of this? And I emailed him back, no, it wouldn't be good because of that. And the next thing I know, Soper called me and said he abstained, and this is 3-3. And I just want to give kudos to Ed Green. He's a fairly new assembly member, but he's not naive.
Well,
and the last thing I want to say.
Well, then let me just be clear, Mimi. That was the legislative effort for internet voting. Meantime, this ballot initiative is still on, and we got to let people know at oag.ca.gov.
We'll light it up about the AG.
Yep.
But the other thing I wanted is Obama's speech. Leave it to you, Brad, to highlight the thing that jumped out of me. This is an example of the confusion people have on voting and elections. Obama said, we got to modernize. We got to make it easy for you to vote. But everybody out there, I know it's hard what I'm asking you to do. So there's a disconnect there. Elections cannot be completely easy and modern, i.e. internet voting. You vote on your phone and forget about it. That way leads to fraud. What we need to do is a little harder than that, and we got to learn how to be citizens overseers of our own elections, eventually mean all paper ballots, and we're going to count them. But for right now, there's a lot of tips that we can do. Black box voting has them. You can look at the verifier map. But I just love you, Brad. You keep it going. But that was the disconnect in Obama's speech when he got to elections. Modernized, easier. And what I'm asking for you to do is hard.
For what it's worth, and thank you. I love you back, Mimi. I got to get to a break here, but let me just clarify one point. He did call for modernizing the voting systems. He had a presidential commission that after the disastrous election of, 2014, when people waited again, once again, for I should say 2012, waited for hours in line to vote. And that commission came back and did not recommend, I think to Obama's credit here, did not recommend internet voting, but recommended modernizing the system as far as registration goes. Computer, registering over the internet, that's a different animal. That we can live with. That we can oversee.
Yep.
Internet voting is a whole different animal. So I'm going to choose for today, just because I can't give myself any more of a heart attack, to assume that that's what he meant by modernized. Thanks, Mimi. I got to run. Great to hear from you. The rest of you on the line, if you want, stay tuned. We'll see if we get some time after the Green News Report, but I got to get out. So I may get to you, but I got to get out, get to a break here, and come back with the GNR and the delightful Desi Doyen to cheer us up, as she always does, with good news about the environment. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is your broadcast. Stay tuned. Stopping the world. Melting for Desi Doyen. It's been a long time since we've had a Green News Report live here on KPFK.
I think it's the first this year.
Is it the first this year?
I believe it is.
We've done them on the broadcast, but they've been a fun drive at KPFK. Haven't been able to hear it. So anyway, you're back.
Yes.
With more holiday cheer as ever. Welcome back to the broadcast, by the way. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with Desi Doyen. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
All right, let's do it. It is our latest Green News Report.
This was the literal thing we had to do, to put ourselves in front of a train to say, we will not take this anymore.
Oil train protesters use necessity defense in oil train blockade.
These new rates have made it impossible for us to operate as a business here.
Huge setback for solar in Nevada. Extreme weather is extremely expensive. 2015 broke the record for the most expensive wildfires. Plus, another one bites the dust. Another big coal company goes bankrupt.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
For those of you who don't habla español, El Niño is Spanish for the Niño.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, you always bring amazing stories, but today there's one in particular out of Nevada. Don't know if that's your first one, but it kind of blows my mind.
Yep, in Nevada, the solar industry is leaving Las Vegas and the entire state.
We were heartbroken that they made the choice to just rip the rug out from under thousands of customers, thousands of employees. These new rates have made it impossible for us to operate as a business here.
That was a regional manager of industry leader Solar City after the Nevada Public Utilities Commission approved a recent request by Nevada's monopoly electric utility, NV Energy, to gut the state's solar net metering program. That pays rooftop solar owners for electricity that they deliver back to the grid. NV Energy also now gets to charge hefty new monthly fees to both new and existing customers. Solar City and other major residential rooftop solar companies have now left Nevada, laying off thousands of workers.
It was a somber, frustrating day as Solar City's crew tore down the same structure where they learned how to install solar panels.
Our existing customers are no longer saving money. They're actually paying more than they would if they didn't have solar. So it's prevented us from being able to operate to sales and installations here in Nevada.
So this is an amazing story to me. These are people who put solar panels on their roof. They were promised a cut in electricity rates since sunshine is free.
That's right. And it's happening from monopoly utilities all over the country.
This is absolutely remarkable. I don't see how it stands, but I guess for now, people in Nevada, where there is nothing but sun falling from the sky, by the way, they're just completely out of luck. This is amazing.
That's right. In Washington state, the criminal trial begins this week for the Delta Five, five members of the climate action group Rising Tide Seattle, who locked themselves to railroad tracks in 2014 to block explosive oil trains from going through their county. For the first time ever, the presiding judge in the case will allow the Delta Five to use what's called the necessity defense, arguing that their blockade was necessary and justified because of the threat of climate change. That's according to climate activist Tim DeChristopher on Democracy Now!, who himself served time in federal prison for his own civil disobedience action that blocked oil drilling on public lands.
This is the first time that defendants who have taken civil disobedience action will be able to present a full defense, including climate scientists and oil train explosion experts, as well as sharing all their own testimony about why they were driven to take this action.
Meanwhile, extreme weather is extremely expensive. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced that 2015 saw 10 extreme weather events that caused at least $1 billion or more in damage in the U.S. There were only $8 billion weather disasters in 2014. The $10 billion or more disasters in 2015 included drought, floods, wildfires, and extreme winter and spring storms. The record was 16 events in 2011. 2015 was also the biggest and most expensive wildfire season in U.S. history. The U.S. Forest Service announced that wildfires last year burned a record 10 million acres, and for the first time, they had to use more than half of their budget on firefighting, forced to siphon funds away from fire prevention programs to pay the rising costs. The agency has requested Congress to increase their budget and designate wildfires as natural disasters like hurricanes and floods, but so far to no avail. Finally, another one bites the dust. Arch Coal, the nation's second largest coal mining company, filed for bankruptcy on Monday, the latest in a string of high-profile coal industry bankruptcies in the U.S. U.S. coal production has fallen to its lowest levels since the mid-80s, thanks in part to new pollution standards, but mostly due to the glut of cheaper, cleaner-burning natural gas and lack of demand from China. Arch Coal's stock price crashed from $260 a share in 2011 to now less than a dollar.
Yeah, well, it ain't over yet. If we have to take off all the solar panels, we may need that coal. Man, for much more on all of the stories we covered today and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, gonna get you too.
Well, there you go. Another one bites the dust. And I want to figure out more on that Nevada story, Desi Doyen, because it is driving me absolutely bonkers that the right-wingers are they are big government, and they are regulating these solar companies out of business. It is just amazing. Do I have let me do this really quick. Hey, hope she can be quick. Hey, Marlene, 15 seconds. Welcome to the broadcast. Go take the 15 seconds, please. Marlene in Valley Village, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here, Brad.
Okay.
You got me?
Yeah, go. I got you.
I just want to say real quick for everybody who wants to have a smiley this week, it's all on what's happening to black people in this country. And I want to say President Obama was very disappointing last night. He didn't bring up the 51% of blacks that have no employment. He has let down the black people, and he should be ashamed.
Well done, Marlene. Thank you. And all done in 15 seconds. Brilliantly done. My thanks to Desi Doyen, our producer, to Cynthia Cohn, our booking goddess, to Jim Soper for fighting the good fight at countedascast.org. Stay tuned for John Wiener in the 4 o'clock report. He'll be talking about State of the Union. Well, he'll also be talking about David Bowie. So there's a reason to stick around. We'll be back with you, same Brad time, same Brad channel tomorrow. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it at bradblog.com or over at iTunes. Drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on Facebook and Twitter, I am The Brad Blog. All right, we'll see you soon. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.